Good to be back up here again this evening, and I pray that I say something that's useful. It will be to me, if no one else, I'm sure. Count your blessings. We think of that a lot this time of year. And count your blessings, name them one by one. I sometimes get facetious. I'll call that one George. But we are very blessed in a lot of ways. The Bible points out to us things that many things we should be thankful for. Of course, some of the names of those things have changed in the interim between when the Bible was written and tonight. But there are so many things that we take for granted. We don't even think about it. I'm almost of the opinion that our blessings are, memory's not one of mine tonight, our blessings are so numerous that if we took time and tried to enumerate them all, we'd run out of time before we run out of blessings. Most of us here, we have homes, place to live. We live in a country where we have, so far anyway, some freedoms, many freedoms. And one blessing right now that we're very aware of is we have heated homes. Does that sound better? Yeah, central heat is a blessing that I take for granted most times, but the last few days when mine wasn't working the way it should, I became very aware of how much I would miss if it were totally gone. Luckily, I've gotten through without getting cold enough to bother me. I think low 50s was as cold as it got in my house. I can live with that. That's so much better than it could be. You know, many people have survived. Most people that have ever lived in this world have survived without central heat, central air. Actually, I think I would miss air more than I would heat if it were taken away. I can always bundle up. I reach a point where I can't take anything more off of me. And heat bothers me, always has. But we take these things for granted. What's the last day that any of us were hungry? We have food. It may not always be exactly what we want, although I'm fairly indiscriminate. As long as I get something that's sustenance. And here lately, I've gotten a lot more than enough for sustenance. But we're very blessed that way. God taught his disciples to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." And for many years, I thought that encompassed more than just bread to eat. Our daily needs, take care of us today. Give us what we need. And in our lifetimes, most times he has. There have been times in my life I didn't have what I wanted. There was a time in my life as a very young adult that I lived in the back of a car for a short while. And then I got a tent. But I had what I needed. I didn't suffer. I always ate. We can make blessings, what's the word I'm looking for, comparative. We can say, well, we had it better before. So-and-so's got it better than I have, or I have it better than they do. But really, should we look at blessings that way? If I have what I need or have what I require, then if I get what I want, then that's just a plus. Of course, God says that we should enjoy the extras. Put my notes up in my class so I can read. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 13. Every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Of course, he does stipulate the good of my labor. If I'm going to enjoy those blessings, I should be willing to work for them. But he gives me that opportunity. God gives me abilities. He gave everybody different abilities. When I think of abilities, I think of professional sports players. And I could name some, but I'll refrain, that all they want to do is complain. You know, $10, $20, $30 million a year is really not enough for as good as they are. Now, I won't take away from some of them if they have developed their abilities very well. But that ability they started with is God-given. You know, there's an old saying in basketball, you can't coach height. I would never make it in the NBA. Never would have on my best day. Although there was a point guard one time who was the same height as me, 5'4". But he was a real standout. And he was a whole lot better basketball player than I think I ever had the ability to think about then. But there are certain attributes that God gives us all. Some are much what we would consider luckier than others. And sometimes we're envious, and we need to learn to be content, as Paul was, whatever our situation, with whatever God gave. God gave me enough. He put me in this world. He gave me a soul. He pointed the way to heaven, told me how to get there. What else do I need to know? But that gets beyond the blessings. You know, most of us have enough money to get what we need. And in today's world, that comes down to my daily needs. If I have the opportunity to make money, I work, I will make enough to provide my daily needs. But that all comes from God's gifts. My abilities, my opportunities, they are God-given. We get into a lot of other things that mean a lot to us. We consider them blessings, and they are. You know, you have a job that you can go to. Now, I've pretty much always been self-employed, but there's always been work to do. I remember a time, I'm going to say it was in the 77, later 70s. I woke up one morning and I realized I don't have any jobs I'm working on. I don't have any service calls to do. I don't have anything to do. And it was almost a panicky feeling. I remember feeling, you know, that deer in the headlights look on my face. I'm sure. It's like, what am I going to do? And it was just a matter of minutes, if not seconds, the phone rang. And there was a fellow, an older gentleman, he was retired. And working with my dad, we'd always done his service work over here at his house in Hendersonville. And he told me who he was, and I said, yes, I know you. And he said, well, I've retired, and I've taken on the job as plant manager at the Madison Church of Christ. He said, we just brought in four portable classrooms. Can you come down and run sewer lines, water lines, put in bathrooms and kitchen, a couple of them? Yes, sir, I can. When do you want me to start? I broke up panicked because I didn't have work to do. And God showed me, worry is a misuse of imagination. I was absolutely wasting time worrying. And I have never forgotten that morning. And that's been, like I say, 45 years ago or so. God always provided me work to do, the ability. Now, if I choose not to go out and work, I won't make any money. But the blessing is the opportunity. He's always given me the opportunity to take care of myself with his help. He's also chastised me a few times and made me realize that without his help, it wasn't going to work, and that I better remember that. One blessing that I think most people realize is a good spouse, a husband or wife. Proverbs 31 says, a good woman is hard to find and worth more than diamonds. And throughout the book of Proverbs, it talks about, she's worth more than emeralds. I see you talking back there. And emeralds are worth more than diamonds. But it talks all through there about the worth of a good wife, a good woman. And I'm pretty sure somewhere in there says something good about a husband, too. I know a husband, good husband should be a blessing to a wife. But we need to count those blessings. And those are easy to name. They come with a name. Children, grandchildren. I don't have any grandchildren. I got one child that I think's a blessing. I'm going to count him as one. Psalms 127. Children are a heritage from the Lord. Goes on to talk about them being like arrows in the hand of a warrior. And blessed is the man who fills his quiver. Children definitely are a blessing. And it talks about grandchildren. Proverbs 17, verse 6. Grandchildren are the crown of the aged. And with children and grandchildren, you can usually remember their names. Or it'll come to you. These are absolutely blessings that we need to be aware of. We need to thank God for them every day. There are a lot of things in our lives that we consider blessings. A lot of people consider the education they had an opportunity to get as a blessing and think that With that education came a lot of knowledge that they consider a blessing, and hopefully some wisdom, which is a blessing. They maybe have used this education to establish a position in a company or business world that has made their life enjoyable, profitable. And they consider this a blessing, and they should. The Bible speaks highly of a good reputation. If we have worked to establish ourselves as a people of good character, and I think we all have, then we should consider a good reputation as a blessing. That goes back to the things being remembered for generations. Sins, you know, somebody gets a really bad reputation, his family can suffer for it for several generations. Gets a really good one, it can help his family for generations to come. You know, we get into a lot of things in our lives that we think of them as you know, blessings. Our lives are very blessed. We have cars to get us where we want to go. Some of us really don't into fancy cars or anything. I just want one to get me here and home. There was a time I had a couple of nice cars, but I realized that really wasn't what I wanted to spend my money on. I guess, I don't know, maybe I just grew up. A lot of people have special interests, things that are important to them, and they can be blessings. They make their life more enjoyable, and God, like I said, God, going back to Ecclesiastes, every man should eat, drink, and enjoy the good of all his labor. God says enjoy this. I'm kind of like Zig Ziglar. I don't agree with him completely on this, but he says that God built heaven for his people. He said, don't you know that's a wonderful place? And he didn't think God meant for us to live in a chicken house on the way there. Well, I think there's some validity to that thought. I think that we do need to be humble and thankful for whatever we get. Being a smart aleck that I am, people used to say to me if I didn't do something the way, slam a door, open, leave a door, were you born in a barn? And I'd quickly reply, no, but we moved into one as soon as we could afford it. But if a dry barn is what you've got and it keeps you out of the rain and out of some of this cold out here, be thankful for it. There's nothing wrong. I mean, it's nice to have a nice house. It's nice to have a nice car. They're not necessary, but yeah, they're blessings. People that have a love of music, maybe their stereo, their sound system. Now, stereo is an archaic term, but you know what I'm talking about. Their sound system, maybe that's a great blessing in their lives. They love to listen to good music and relax. Or there are those who feel the same way about a home theater system. They're movie buffs. I never had the patience to sit through too many movies myself, but I know people who just love to go to the movies and love to sit home and watch movies. And as long as they use it properly, it's a blessing to them. It helps them to relax and to appreciate life. In this town, a lot of people consider their boats a blessing. And to a lot of them, they are. I know some people I think some of the greatest pleasure they ever got was out just floating around on the lake fishing. Now, fishing to me is too much work, but they loved it. And to them, to go out on a Saturday or an evening in the summer or a day off or after they retired during the week and go fishing was a great blessing to them. They just loved it. It relaxed them. They just joyed in it. So there are so many things that if we stop and think about it, they are blessings, and we should count those blessings. Name them one by one and be thankful that God has given us what he has given us. It may not be, you know, as same thing somebody else has. And I can be jealous if I want to be, if I choose to be. But there again, that's just, it's wasting time. I should rejoice in what I have and how I'm blessed. So count your blessings. Count them regularly. Think about it. Think how good God has been to you. But now I have a challenge for you. Can you count your idols? An idol is anything that takes your attention, your devotion, your time away from godly things. So if you stopped and thought about it, I think the first thing we, most of us, would come up with was, well, it would be money. You know, man cannot serve God and mammon. So money would be an idol.
And money can be an idol, there's no doubt.
But you know that Paul said it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. Here again, going back to Zig Ziglar, he says, you can't have too much money. But if the money has you, it's too much. If I have $2 in my pocket and that's all I can think about is hanging on to that $2, that's too much money. I'm better off without it. It's an idol. The problem is, if you start making that list of idols after you get through making your list of blessings, you're going to find so many things on both lists. And you're going to find out it's not the thing, the idea, the concept itself, but how you perceive it, how you use it, how you feel about it, and what place it takes in your life. How important is it? Well, like we said, we all have homes. But if I get to the point where my home is my pride and I'm so into it that it fills me with too much pride, that's an idol. It was explained to me one time that the difference between palaces and castles, and that is, men have castles, women have palaces. Because women like to decorate and make it pretty and entertain, and men like to defend. I don't know that that's true anymore. An awful lot of men are into ostentation. Big house up on the hill where everybody can see you, and it's 83,000 square feet or something. You know, I don't know what they are, but some of them seem like they're that big. It looks like that house is a city on a hill. And it's pride that built that house. It's, hey, look at me. It has become an idol. A home is a wonderful thing. A house is a great thing. It's an almost necessary thing. A place to live is. But if it gets to the point where that's the most important thing in your life, it's an idol, and it's not a blessing. You know, something as basic as food, we can take that to extremes. We can refuse to eat all but the very most fancy, expensive foods, and just be real haughty about it. It is haute couture, haute cuisine, I mean, no pun intended. But if we are so into what we eat and we're proud of our knowledge and brag about it and show off with it, it can become an idol. Something as basic as food. Something we have to have almost every day. We have to have it regularly anyway. But if we approach it not as a necessity, but as a thing to be proud of, a thing to show off about, a thing to brag about, that's no longer a blessing. Even a good spouse. If we devote ourselves to them beyond our devotion to God, we become ungodly. And that husband or wife may be an idol. Same way with children, especially grandchildren. The Bible's full of passages about how to raise children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, how to punish them when they need it, to train them up. If we love them in our minds so much that we don't train them, we don't punish them, we give them anything they want, we think that, you know, they're better than everybody else's. I remember a story of a woman who took her son to school for the first day of school ever. She told the teacher, she says, now, he's very, very sensitive. He said, you've got to be careful how you approach him. She said, now, he might do something wrong, but if he does, you can't spank him. She said, but if you'll spank the boy sitting next to him, he'll get the idea. If I've got to the point where I think my child is that much better than someone else's, he's become an idol to me, or she. And the same with grandchildren. If all I do is buy them, they've become idols to me. I'm not helping them. I'm certainly not helping their parents. The greatest things in your life, the greatest blessings, can become idols. That education that you wanted so badly and so proud of, if it becomes your be-all, end-all, and you just want more education all the time, and you do that to the detriment of your relationships in life, especially your relationship with God and that of your family, with your family, then that education has become an idol to you. You worship it above all things. The same way with a position in a company, a job. If that position is so important to you that you devote time you should be devoting to your family, to your God, to maintaining that position, that job, it's hurting you, it's not helping you. Another idol. A good reputation probably could become an idol if all you do is struggle to keep that reputation and enhance it. You know, a good reputation is a wonderful thing, but don't devote your entire life. Your entire life should be devoted to doing good and doing the things that establish a good reputation. But if you do it simply for that reason, it's an idol. The abilities that we talked about earlier, especially athletes, people who do specialized jobs, we all have abilities. We all use them differently. My job requires some special abilities. You know, your job does too, or did. All of us, every one of us. Go back to athletes. They had attributes and abilities they were born with. And if that's all they think about, if that's all that matters in their life, their lives, they have become idols. If all they do is spend days after day at the gym or on the practice field, chasing the next contract or the better pay because they are the best, want to be the best in the world, that may be all they ever accomplish. And it won't do them any good after their short period of time when they're at an age when they can do these things. Because those opportunities don't last forever. And the more physical they are, the quicker they fade. I mentioned boats I've had boats, I loved them. And like I say, if I want to go fishing on a Saturday, my work's done for the week, I've met my obligations. If I just want to go out and float around on the lake, or go kayaking on a river, canoeing, those boats are wonderful things. But if somebody loves their boat and the lake so much, they get up on a nice May morning, look out there and the sun's shining, the temperature's in the 80s, this very, very light breeze, it's a perfect day to go on the lake. Too bad it's Sunday morning. Well, we're not going to get too many days like this, so I better take the opportunity to get to the lake. That boat has become an idol. We can count our blessings, and we're pretty good at recognizing them if we stop and think about it. We do take for granted way, way too much, especially in this country for now. I'm afraid that that's going to change, but that's just me, because I know that there's an old saying about concrete. There's two kinds of concrete, that that has cracked and that that hasn't cracked yet. I think there's two kinds of politicians, those that have lied to you and those that haven't lied to you yet. So who knows what's going to happen in this country? But no matter what happens, we're still going to be blessed as long as we're God's people. The Jewish people had a lot of periods of captivity, even slavery, different things in their history, but they were always blessed. God's punishment was a blessing because he was training them, teaching them. And he has promised that if he loves us, he will train and teach us. He'll chastise us. Whom God loveth, he chastiseth. The Hebrew writer mentioned that a few times, James does. The main thing is we need to learn, even in adversity, to count our blessings, but even harder in times of great prosperity, to be aware of idols. And if something becomes an idol to us, we need to count it and deal with it.
We're given way too many opportunities to abuse what God has given us. And Satan is very good at his job. He helps us. You know, he'll put that thought in your head, boy, it's a great day to be on the lake.
You know, leave me alone, Satan.
But I do challenge you. Count your blessings. Always be aware of them. But then stop and count your idols. And be very aware of them. The blessings help you get through this life. The idols will help stop you from enjoying the next life. And that's more important.
And I'm pretty much going to leave it right there. And just tell you, if there's anybody here that needs to respond to the gospel invitation in any way, anybody here that needs the help of the prayers of the congregation in any way, this would be the time to make that known as we stand and sing.